Question this morning. If God be God, serve Him. Amen. Why hold you between two opinions? Amen. Hallelujah. If God be God, serve Him. Amen. That's your question. We have settled that question. Amen. We made Him our choice. When the cry went out, who is on the Lord's side? Amen. You didn't halt. You wasn't wavering in your mind. You settled the question. Hallelujah. If you have a question this morning, settle it in your heart. Amen. If God be God, serve Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Would you bow in the presence of the Almighty God? Hallelujah. Let the question be settled in your heart today. There is one true and living God. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, we are so thankful we could come right into His presence. We could come with joy. We could come giving praise and thanks unto Him. We could come and talk to Him. And He could talk to us. What a blessed privilege that is for us this morning. We don't have to come and bow before an idol. We don't have to come wondering our minds who He is. We can come with faith. We can come because He told us to come. Hallelujah. He has sought true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Many worship Him in vain. But they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's only one place where He would meet with anyone. He showed that from the very beginning. When Cain and Abel came before Him, He refused Cain's worship. But it was revealed in the heart of Abel to come under the shed blood of the innocent lamb. There God met with him and testified he was righteous by accepting his sacrifice. Here, almost 6,000 years after, God is still meeting man under the shed blood. Not of a natural lamb today, because since that time, the real lamb has been revealed. John the Baptist stood up one day and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Over 2,000 years, God has been meeting man under the shed blood of that lamb. That lamb bleeding down through seven church ages. His revealed word. That a people could come out from all systems and be gathered together under that shed blood, that their praise could come up before God. That God would hear an answer, because that is the blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. And that life that was in that blood is in the heart of every true worshiper this morning. Hallelujah. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we stand in your divine presence because of that shed blood. Oh God, we come and we confess our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures. Lord God, thanking you that that blood can make us clean. With faith in that blood, and with honesty and sincerity in our hearts, making a genuine confession, we know that through confession and faith, all our powers of heaven is subject unto us. For we are part of the redeemed. The great ransom church that our blood was shed to redeem back. A church that you have sanctified by your blood and come to dwell in by your Holy Spirit. And the great purpose being revealed unto us. What the Holy Ghost is given for. That you might dwell in that church and continue this great work. Lord, in this hour here it has been completed. We thank you, Father, that we have been considered in this great plan of redemption. It has been made shown to us when we saw a name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And here we stand with a testimony today. Oh God, that word coming to pass. Showing, dear God, that we are part of that word. When we could stand in a position like that, we know that even sickness could stand before us. For whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever we do in word and in deed, we can do it all in the name of Jesus. And Father, here we stand this morning. And sickness, a gate, standing before that church. And these, Lord, bringing the request, Almighty God, and we stand here as the great ransom church of the living God this morning. And that gate of sickness standing before us. As your servant, Lord, stand with these people here in the line of duty this morning. I rebuke that sickness that is trying to fence in these saints of the living God. May it flee from them. Lord, may they march on in the line of duty this morning, knowing they are commissioned by the Holy Spirit to go forth and possess every inch of ground that is promised them. Hallelujah. All that need deliverance, spiritual deliverance, all that come for revival, all that come, oh God, Lord, knowing their God this morning, the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells in them. They have the abstract take a deed to every promise. Hallelujah. And when they stand upon that God-given ground, no demon power could hinder them this morning. Oh God, may the faith in their heart lift up them gates and walk away with it this morning, Father. Praise the Lord. I lay my hands on these requests and all these others. I stretch forth my hands upon this congregation that is believing here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let the blood speak in their heart this morning and let their faith rise up and take the promise of the living God in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh gracious God, may the great Holy Spirit, that great covenant angel, hallelujah, members, we don't pull for money here, we don't pull for members. Why? The word is preached so hard to run the people, amen, to get the make believers out, amen. But then you'll find God somehow brings the people, and we are thankful for everyone, because
the more we have on our side, the more effective we believe we can finish the work.
Amen.
Because the work is great, and we need all the help that we could. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to feel that we don't need the help to do the work. We need the help. And I really, while I talk about need the help, let me stand up here and give a rose to all the officers in the church this morning. Amen. I really appreciate them for the help in the assembly here, for the way God has kept the church here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Because I tell you, you know, a few places a minister will be able to travel and go back and forth, in and out, and coming in and out, and be blessed, and see the people blessed also. Normally, you get all kind of confusion from the time a minister will turn his back. Amen. But then, when we see that there are people concerned for the flock, and will labor diligently in word and in deed, amen, and be an example among the believers in conduct, doctrine, conversation, purity, amen, in all walk of life, then we are thankful. Amen. And then all the others in the assembly here who is concerned about the work of God, who have disciplined themselves to see that the work of God go forth unhindered, who is there giving the praises and the prayers and the support, amen, in every way that they can see the work of God abound and Jesus Christ be glorified, we are indeed thankful. Amen. And all those who are, maybe if there's anybody in that category who are kind of sit down there and stare and wonder what's going on and don't want to participate, we pray for you and we love you too. Amen. And we trust that the God will give you enough grace, amen, to be a real believer and you can shine your light and brighten the corner where you are. Because if you don't do it here and you don't do it somewhere else, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. But God is not giving people the Holy Spirit to be selfish. God is giving people the Holy Spirit to show Jesus Christ to the world. Amen. Amen. To display Almighty God. To put Him on display in their lives.
Amen.
And when He came here, just read the Bible and the Gospels, you will see how He put that Spirit on display. And just read the life story of the prophet and you'll see how He put that Spirit on display. And read about the seven messengers all along through church ages and you'll see how they put that Spirit on display. Amen. And then the great last display by us. Amen. That's where we have been placed. So I trust that that would be a great blessing. Shall we welcome everyone to the house of God for service this morning? And we're looking forward to see everyone in this hour come to such a place where it could be so anchored, unmovable, established, settled, grounded, and rooted in the word and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be a real, ripe, mature Christian, because that is the kind that He is coming for. Amen. A mighty marching army of people that can come to adoption. Amen. That God can say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Amen. God can stand there proud. Amen. To look and see there is people. Amen. That the world can't point their finger to. That the devil have no place in. Live or die, sink or swim, fellow no friend. Amen. They are prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are thankful. Amen. To know that that is what He wants of us. And He is here to see you become that. Amen. Also, we have a few notes of praise. Sister Leah Francis, we'd like to thank the Lord for taking us successfully from my operation she had on Friday last. Praise God. Amen. God heals. Amen. Through all different channels. Amen. Only one healer is God. Amen. Healed through medicine. Healed through prayer. Heals through music. Amen. Heals through a kind word. You have some old grudge or something. You probably say, some kind word will heal that. Amen. Hallelujah. God heals. Amen. Divine healings. Amen. Also, Brother Oliver Alexander and his wife, Sister Betty, would like to thank the Lord for the birth of a baby boy into the home. May God bless them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Also, Brother Charles Watson, would like to thank the Lord for his wife safe delivery of a baby boy on Tuesday last. Also, may God bless them also. Amen. Amen. Bless them and give them children and make their homes happy and let them be established in the truth and serving God like a real God-fearing family looking for the coming of the Lord. Is everybody looking for the coming of the Lord? Is that the thing first and foremost upon your heart? Amen. Is the desire this morning to walk through these doors so as we would see Jesus? Amen. Lord, this is the hour. I don't want to see... You know, a lot of people have the kind of interpretation in mind. I want to see God. Let me see where God is. I want to see God. They say God there, and they say God there. I want to see my life. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you're looking for God, don't look for God outside. I mean, you can look and see me in His creation. You can look and see me in His Word. Amen. You can look and see me in His Son. If you put on the film, deep unto deep or something like that. But you see God in His people. Amen. And that is where you have to see Him. Because the church is not somebody outside yourself. Amen. Because if you're looking for Him in a church outside yourself, then you would never see me, because you have to be in you first, amen, for you to see me in somebody else. Because your eyes see through your heart. Amen. You look here with these two things. Amen. These two members, the optical nerve, you look with that, but you don't see with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Your eyes see through your heart. Amen. If your heart is full of, like that man, Brother Bram, had preached that message, condemning all them bobby hair women, pink face, short dress, and them immoral women, and he's going to the back door, that young man met him outside. He said, "Now, preacher, let me tell you something." He said, "Because you're an old man, you're condemning the woman." He said, "But I don't find they look that bad. I find they look nice." He said, "Young man, what's your age?"
Amen.
He's about 24 years. He said, when I was 15 years, I was preaching the same thing what I preach here tonight. He said, "Your eyes see to your heart." Amen. In other words, because there's a spirit that lost inside your heart, they're looking nice when your eyes look at them. Amen. But if there's a Holy Spirit in your heart, when you look, you see a body that needs Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So then we realize that if you get a new heart and a new spirit, and all this heart transplanting that the doctor's trying to promote, this is an old thing, you know.
Amen.
Amen. God, your first one talk about new heart. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not new heart alone, but new spirit inside new heart. And he didn't stop there. He said, "I'll put my spirit in that new spirit inside your new heart." And then you'll become a new creation. The old things will pass away. And all things, when you look at it, will become new. Amen. Because of the pure, all things will be pure. Hallelujah. Amen. You will look out through your windows, as Solomon said. You know the eyes is the windows? Amen. And the feet is the pillars in the house. And then the pillars begin to shake. And then the windows begin to get dim. And you can't see too much what's going on. And then the grinders, amen, is all gone. I mean, talk about this house that a man's living inside here, and this old house of mine is leaning, but I'm going to go to a better home. Hallelujah! We're going to go to a better home! Because earthly house of this tabernacle be deserved, there's another house, eternal in the heavens, made with all hands waiting for you. And but is the devil going to sure keep us in confusion with all kind of brick and stone up in heaven? Amen. But when our prophet took a trip, hallelujah, a spiritual astronaut was taken over into another land beyond that river, amen, that great divide. Hallelujah. When he went over into eternity, what he saw people in a body, that body that can't feel pain. No tiredness, no sleep, no weariness, no nothing at all. And he found was a celestial body God was talking about. And you know something? You have one too.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just as a mother growing a body inside a womb, when she's pregnant and a little body is being formed there, because why? That's only muscles, that an earthly body being formed inside that woman, because there's a spirit that is ordained to come to receive that body.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. The same way in you, amen, is a word image being formed. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith and virtue and knowledge being formed, the person of Jesus Christ, because it's a word body for you to enter into. Amen. And when you speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what we speak about there. Amen. That real evidence that you're identified to show you are really being changed. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life I've been made anew. What a difference. Amen.
Amen.
Since the Lord came and saved. Amen. Hallelujah. See? So then that's what we're speaking about. A new creation. A man who is in a spiritual relationship with Almighty God. Not to make proselytes. To establish men and women into a spiritual relationship with God. whereby they come new creations in Christ. That is the objective of the message. And it will take the Spirit of God Himself to present the message. Hallelujah. And when the Spirit of God presents the message, that is what He will achieve by His presentation. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. So let's stand to our feet. Let's read the scripture this morning. Now, I've been getting some little trouble here trying to preach Thursday and then come back next Thursday and a Sunday to pick up. And that's why in this kind of preaching and teaching here, you kind of prefer to take 4 or 5 days one time and just plow into the thing. Because what happened every time you come here, kind of remind the people what you were saying and kind of get them back in the water time before the service is finished. And then you left back here now with this, and then by the time next service comes, you have 3 messages to preach in one service. You see, so it's kind of hard that way. So I'm going to keep calling this Daniel in Revelation, but I really want to take call and chosen and faithful this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. And you find if you are called, find if you are chosen, and find if you are faithful. Revelation 19. I just love this book of Revelation, do you? Yes. Amen. When you get the revelation, you care for the rest, you know, but when you really see it, you can see all the rest right inside of here. Only one Jesus wrote himself. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Now, there was one when the first thing was open, but this one when heaven is open. And not open how you say open. Amen. The graves were open and they that slept came out. But not open how people said open. A door was open. An open door. Amen. So let's don't get too abstract in our mind, but let's keep spiritual. Amen. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. My. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Amen. I love that. He does make war.
Amen.
He does judge, but always in righteousness.
Amen.
His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself.
Amen.
And he and his bride is one. Yes. Don't separate he and his bride at all. Amen.
Amen.
Don't get too like, he's saying, and my father is one. And they get trouble. Amen. So when he's talking about that one, remember this, he ended it already one in spirit, one in flesh, one in bone, one in faith, one in virtue, one in knowledge. Amen. So don't see one and one here. Amen. Hallelujah. People get confused with these things. Amen. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven. Armies, eh? When see army, you have to see sword, you have to see shield, you have to see helmet. Followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white and clean. And out of his mouth, went a sharp sword. That with it, he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his tie a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I think I will stop here. If I go into that part, I'll be reading, but it really won't be what I want. Revelation 17. Verse 14. Let's look on verse 12 to give a little understanding here. And the 10 horns which thou showest are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but received powers, kings on all with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Them 10 kings in the 10 toes in Nebuchadnezzar dream in the image. Them 10 horns in the great scarlet color beast, the red dragon. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Same we just read about. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. They are not called, chosen, and faithful, you know. They are called, and it's a conjunction. And they are chosen. And they are faithful. So they are called, otherwise they couldn't come. They are chosen, otherwise they would not be there at his side with him. And they are faithful. They'll be faithful, to be announced faithful, that'll be tried. That'll be proven. Amen. Alright, now last week we were talking about a little group, eh? We were talking about a group last week. I want to take Revelation 6 now. In Daniel 7, we were talking about a group that was with him who ministered unto him. I tell you, keep your eyes on that group. Because they wasn't coming to the grace. They was already standing there with him when he was judging. So it's a group of people I'm speaking about. They that are with him. And we've been talking about the names in the book. And a section of the book have been opened, and these people have been called, who was chosen, and they have been proven faithful right here in this hour. Amen? And I saw, verse 1, Revelation 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard his word, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, the other white horse, but it's not the real one. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. He didn't have it right there and then, but it was given unto him. And when he couldn't crown a spirit, that's when the spirit came incarnate. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, as we have read that word, Lord, give us something out of it this morning. We have so many thoughts in our hearts we can speak and express. But Lord, let the Spirit of God take out of that stored up food. And you feed us, Father, Lord, as that word image been forming the hearts of the people. That little spiritual baby that is craving those vitamins. Lord, just what it is craving, Father. Lord, we know you have already stored it up. Take out of it, Lord, and feed it. They might grow forth to be a healthy babies, Lord. Normal and strong. For Lord, that is to vindicate your word for this hour. Bless us while we feast upon it. And give us understanding that we have a clear mind. As David said, lead me in a plain path. Oh God, we can see and know where we are going, what is taking place in this hour. Lord, we can be in the rhythm of your word. Grant it, Father. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have your seat. Amen. So, as I said, for the tape, so that we can keep understanding that it's a little series we've been preaching here. And coming along in, and we can have a little understanding that to follow what we're speaking about. So, I'm still speaking on the seven trumpets. But when I reach Revelation 10, which is the seven trumpets, is one of those things that I tell you could take the whole message and tie it together, because we've been preaching the message. I began to preach 1976, 75, around there, and from that time, 9 years now, I've been preaching out of the message. And out of the message is Revelation 10. So then we keep on preaching for 200 years, if the Lord will tarry. We don't believe he'll do that, but just to make a point, then we'll still be preaching out of Revelation 10. The book is open, the whole open book here. And that's a message. But what we want to strike was certain things that we was trying to highlight, because we believe that the seventh trumpet was not permitted by God. And we find that wasn't the only thing that God didn't permit. God didn't permit the cloud to be turned for 3 years. Though God knew it was the face of Christ. Though God knew if you turn to the right angle, you would see the supreme judge. Yet, he never said, turn it. He let the prophet go along. He let judgment signs keep happening. He let God's darkness appear in the sky. He let the rock be thrown up and judgment struck the west coast. Amen. He let the prophet keep preaching The mystery has revealed word without a sign of confirmation. That the seven tongues tell the mystery of Christ coming like a thief in the night. Then he said, turn it and reveal the supreme judge between priesthood and kingship. Amen. Outside the sanctuary upon the face of it in the Lord's day. And then he revealed that only to confirm that the message part, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, was correct. Amen. Because Revelation 10, 1 to 7 was a revelation of the revealing of the Son of Man. When the cloud turned, it showed one like the Son of Man in the Lord's day. To confirm that the teaching was correct, because it manifested. The Lord is here. Amen. And that is what they was to see. And that is what they could not see. Because the faith is like you have to see him by revelation. Eyes of revelation. And you have to see him in the fulfillment of his word. The great happenings in the spiritual realm. Amen. And then to see that, you have to know the word by what is happening. Because that prophecy was now becoming history. Amen. And to see him in the fulfillment of his word, it means to say it has been taking place in you. Yes. Because it was not praising God for what happened. I was not praising God for what was going to happen, but it was being what God was doing. And we find out only those who had the bedding ground to receive the word for the eggs. They see the promise. Those who had a place for it to grow. Amen. Those who can as the ground mature will reveal the very word, will make that history. They were the ones who was going to really understand what was happening. Outside of that, there was not another way for anybody else to know it. Now, after the bride live it out and preach it, other people can try to take up parts and live it and preach it back. But you see, by the time they're trying to learn and preach it back, she's already living out another part. So they're already behind and waiting to impersonate something. And then many a time they will have a teaching but no testimony. So then it will only produce death. Because knowledge creates an atmosphere that paralyzes faith. Faith cannot grow in that kind of atmosphere. But where faith is being preached, you'll see the children living. Amen. Hallelujah. Wisdom full of faith, you'll see them living. You will see testimonies of things happening, the dead being raised, the blind eyes opening, souls being delivered. Amen. Demon powers being broken, doomed devils on the run. You'll see something happening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, looking back there, we've been trying to pick up those things. And when we hit here, I told you, well, if we're on the trumpets, then best we take up Daniel too, because Daniel is speaking about kings and kingdoms. And Daniel prophecy was really from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, right down the head of gold, which is Babylon, down to the toes of iron, close to the eyes of one Khrushchev, until the kingdom of the God of heaven. Amen. It is established upon the face of the earth when the Davidic covenant would be established. And we found that Jesus sits on the Father's throne and he had to wait until the time come and the saints crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he comes with them and establishes his kingdom on the earth. Amen. And we've been going into that year, and that is quite a big subject because these things will be taken, it's tying the whole Bible together, because when the prophet preached the seven church ages, I was just setting the church ages positionally according to history. When he took the seals, it began to reveal the mysteries in the church ages. And then after, it tied the whole Bible together because everything was under the seals. When he took the seven, when we take the seven trumpets, you know, we find that it pick back up the church ages, it pick back up the seals, and it ties back the whole Bible again together all the way again. Because it is the very same, I think, just unfolding more and more and more and more. And why I've been trying to approach it this way, because this is the hour you must have a clear understanding. This is the hour your mind can't afford to be muddy. Your eyes can't afford to be dim. Because deception is in such a realm that unless you are not the word, but I'm saying the only thing that will tell the two spirits apart, because they are the word. Amen. And they know the word a certain way. And I'll be trying to take this to show you, not just a preacher like a little torture, but to set it in a way that you could see the times we're living in, we could see what God is doing, we could see how these things are actually coming to pass with somebody giving you some little idea, something that sounds good, and then when you hear the idea, you have no scripture to compare it with.
Now when you know the scriptures and you know the plan of God, then when somebody give you a testimony, you will see that it fit in the plan of God and the scriptures. That's how you try the spirit by the word. You don't go by if it sounds good. You don't go by how many people follow it. You don't go by how many people look influenced with it. You go by if it's according to the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And here we've been kind of going to those things there. And first you pick up the Euphrates River, then you pick up the locusts in the river there. I know I've been doing a little research more and more as I keep studying along this line here. And certain things begin to strike me. And I saw how that was so hidden from theologians, that Euphrates River right there. I've been reading some background, if you have a scroll Bible you can read too. And plus other great personalities in the message who are kind of put all the teachings and writing and tapes and different things. And I've kind of seen there and looking, you know, I have some maps. I've been watching the maps and the places geographically and measuring the distance of the places and these things and seeing what they're talking about. You see, because this happened in a certain setting back then. Going over the Euphrates River, you're talking about a certain geographic location where that existed in the physical realm. And they have, author Revelation 16:4, it says on the Euphrates River, the water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. And they have it as the king, you know, in Revelation there are two things about what the kings of the earth and kings of the east. Amen. The kings of the east is different than the kings of the earth. Amen. You see, now, there they had these people called China, the king of the east. From China is coming, the Oriental communists, you know, China is communist too, but it's in a different realm to the Russian communists, you see. How a lot of different form of communism. So here they was coming out. And they say that they are coming from China, an army of 200 million horsemen and horses. And they are riding, and they cross the Euphrates River when that water is dried up. No, all are geographic. And they're talking about making a journey in horseback with 200 million men, about thousands of miles. Because if you want the distance, you may run into a close, and almost be close to 10,000 miles. Straight across your country riding a horseback. Now you think that in this modern age here, where people do that, it's so far-fetched. But you see, the reason is because the water of the Euphrates River. And that Euphrates River is a great mystery there. So because not having a revelation that was spiritual in mystery Babylon. See, and this horseman was very locust. They're called locusts and they're called horsemen. And those horsemen are spiritual charges. You see? People are not going to get a beast in Babylon represent the power. You see? So they had this whole Oriental army coming there. You know, they had to, I don't know if they even have roads in that place to get them across there. Or what they're going to ride through jungles and across mountains and whatever that landmass is. But you see, that Euphrates River we found was a papal Rome. And then when that water is dried up, when that Roman power is broken, that power will be broken. The time is going to come, the world will not wonder no more about the woman. Because when she gets things clamped down, she will not be hiding to do nothing. Amen. You see, that's a woman, the kind of social, but a prostitute. Or they live an immoral life. And why the dear, you know, in the society, brother, you tell them even something about the sinful living, they will put you in a place. Because they think they are so social and so socially elevated in these things. They feel they have a good job and maybe a good education, they refine. See? But then, after a while, that a woman who might start like that might become so low and degraded, like a normal woman then, who is in that realm, let's say on the street now, a hooker, who is advertising a business. She's not trying to keep a social status and work behind the scene. She don't care if she pours nude for money. You know what we say? She don't care if they're publishing the paper. She don't care what they say about her. Because now that's putting the same spirit up here. This one only hiding behind a little social status because they have other motives and they're not ready to be exposed or be seen in that light yet. But this one here might even be more vulgar than that other one down there. You know what I'm saying? No, that's exactly what the picture is in the Bible here. With the Roman Catholic Church, she's called the Mother of Harlots. And her first move is not to be exposed because she has certain motives. So she appeared to be like a so virtuous. And all she did issues on abortion, she did issues on this, and she issues on divorce, and she issues on different things. And she put it out and she publicized it. And she keep that big religious front. That she's doing issues, and then the cries of peace and the fasting, and then all the forcing me to go watch some little baby children foot to show humility like Jesus and all the different things. But then the Bible showed there's a time when she come out openly. The Bible says, such are the ways of an adulteress when she eateth and wiped her mouth and said, I've done no evil. Yes. Amen. She will come to such a place where she will be so low and so rotten, her sin will reach the heaven. Yes. And God will burn all the earth. Yes. And in 1 hour, such a great thing will be destroyed. Amen. So, you see, that time is soon approaching. And she's entering into her hour, where she's going to rule the world for her hour. And where she's going to sit in the temple, that beast is going to sit in the temple like he's going to be worshipped. Now, the reason I've been trying to kind of keep under the prophetic utterance of the Bible here is because something always struck me. And I read where Brother Abraham one time, as I always tell you, he's going to the book of Revelation here. And what sent him in was when in America, right? It's out of America. It's America type Israel. And it's right out of America is where the history is repeating again. And the lamb spoke like a dragon. And that power to kill the Christians in this hour will come be issued out of America, though it's the Vatican behind it. Amen. Because Rome has risen in America. And then we see the present events. I just read yesterday again about some of the women present in America and these things. And I've been kind of giving that some thought, considering those things. Because here in the physical realm, you know, the kind of thing that is the center of attraction in the political world today. It's like the headlines of the news, like what the eyes of the world is being focused upon. It's the direction the whole world is looking on and speaking about. When it's something making the headlines in the world news, that's where the whole world attention is focused. That's what they're talking about. That is like the prominent thing on that scene. Amen. And he went into the book because the Holy Spirit told him, the church must have this message now. And I was thinking then, if God sent the book of Revelation to unveil its prophetic message, because the book contained a prophetic message for this day. And God sent him into the book to unveil the prophetic message that it contained for the bride. Then how much more we must stay under the prophetic utterances and the warning of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Especially as we see the present events and how advanced they are, especially in this hour, how swiftly these are transpiring. And that great showdown is coming nearer every day. Amen. Amen. How much we should stay on it. Because here you are. You know, you talk about the sheep. That sheep was getting kind of nervous. He says, you know what, the sheep is binoculars. I wonder why the sheep getting nervous like that. It's all of a sudden, you see a big lion crouching up easy behind the sheep. No, the lion only had one motive. He was advancing, coming in, and he's going to devour the sheep. Just like with David back there, we saw Goliath and David. We're going to put that message here, the image of the beast, the image of the world, and show you in 1 Samuel 7:48, the thing is already in movement, and the image of the world is coming against the image of the beast, and the gap is closing, and they're coming for a showdown. Then preach that when the money proposition, when America recognized the Vatican as a nation, and begin that diplomatic relation with them, and President Reagan is going to change his speech toward the Russians and this, because she's trying to woo the Russians, the next superpower. And since that time, you watch and see how swiftly things are accumulating. And even right here, when he's preaching these things here, the very weak, you watch the news, how much are these things actually came to the forefront just the very time when this was being preached. Only to show you that God is heading up to a place for a showdown. It's coming to a place. They won't come right into a thing like that, you know. Because David will put that stone, that sling, and wind up and loose it with such a force, with such a speed and a power, that faith and that inspiration that comes through that revelation when he had all those experiences back there with the sheep is going to actually fire and strike that on that run somewhere. You have had your experiences. You have had your stones. You have had your revelations. Amen. We have seen the coming a great sword to kill. Amen. A great sword is coming with. And we take that sword and we run back to the Bible, and that same sword kills 68 million. That's why Goliath get a big reputation he had. He's a warrior since he was small. Hallelujah. Amen. Since he was small and started there, he killed 68 million. Amen. Now he's a champion. Amen. Because all nations fear him. Hallelujah. But you know something? David didn't even fear him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He said, you come against me with a sword. I come in the name revealed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He said, I come against you in that name. So it's an hour like that, and if you're a shepherd and you're watching sheep, and you see a big bear, you know who the bear was? That's the king of the north. That's the third vision. Watch the bear. Amen. They had a big lion that was coming up. Amen. And that's Babylon. That lion is a mystery today. Amen. That coming there. And that lion came out, and David was there watching, and but his eyes, he was watching the sheep, but he's watching the enemy too. Amen. Amen. And I feel, you know, watching these things as they're moving there, in my heart, I want to see you in shape. I want to see you in order. I want to see you in a place where the fire of God could move through your being. Amen. I want to see you in a place, the level of consciousness. I want to see you in a place that you understand what is happening. That you'll be caught unawares in there. You won't be caught in some foolishness down here. We see what is moving in and we know what it means. Amen. And we are trying to study the prophetic utterance of these things and the warning to the Holy Spirit, because to the Holy Spirit, in writing the book here, he spent so much time and put so much detail upon these things in the book of Revelation here, because it is what was going to come to destroy the church in the last days. And the prophet, almost 90% of his ministry, was right inside of the air. Amen. In the preaching of the word, exposing that thing and warning us what's going to come to. Amen. And here we see it so near, into such a place that we know, when we see that, we know we here have to be in a certain gear also. So this is why I say I'm trying to look at the church in a higher bracket, in a higher level of faith. Because when we see that coming there, then we know we have to be in a certain level of faith here. So when you see little foolishness rise up here, and little indifferences and little things coming here, you see these things that are diagonally opposed to the program of God. Yeah. They're going to weed these things out and launch into them, tear it out of here, because you see what is coming there. Those things in here would be railway and a hindrance from the power of God moving amongst us and doing the things they ought to be doing. Yeah. Amen. See, the Bible, that man in the tower, he sat there, and he had the long telescopic sight, and he looked there, he could see the enemy coming, and his eyes so sharp, he could see there's 200 riders, amen, armed for war, amen, and they're traveling at 40 miles power, they're riding this way, amen, and he could sound the trumpet that the people could be alerted, amen, get them in rank and file, get everything set for in array for when that comes. And the Holy Spirit, not taking it lightly, move into here I'm beginning to unveil the prophetic message to warn the church. Because in every age, he doesn't hear. Let me hear the Spirit says. He doesn't have to give a wisdom. Let him understand what is happening. Behold, I come quickly. My reward with me. I come like a thief. No one will know. Yeah, how he's talking. In that book there. Because the message is urgent. He's not playing time. And when we see those things happening there, then we get to realize something is at hand. And this is where you keep watching up and keep watching and keep watching and keep watching here. And you know then that we must be in shape. Not just talking and saying we're in shape, not hoping we be in shape. But we must have the same confidence in our hearts here and awe and see the Spirit being able to move without a hindrance. We don't want to say by faith, we're totally gathering mind and there I am. And go along with that. We want to see him moving out hindrance. We want to see him in that brother, in that sister. We want to see him in that home. We want to see him among the people. We want to see him doing the things. Amen. Get the people ready. Hallelujah. Because we have to be in that shape. So then after we've been kind in the end, take a Euphrates River, they plague a locust and then come through and pick up the three woes. And that was so tremendous to me, them three woes, because India, you know, how we preach, I don't know if you watch it that way, but it's still coming to me, how we is preaching here all along about the principal theme of the New Testament and the masterpiece, you see, Second Adam and Second Eve and these things. And right there, the seven trumpets, when we went in there, we found the birth pains and the new it. Amen. The Eden restored right there. Amen. The last part of the redemption. So look how those things was coming out, you see. And then afterwards, I kind of hesitated because I didn't want to go inside here. It was too much and it was too big a thing to tie together. And I didn't want to spend all the time just going back into something just for the sake of the younger ones alone. But I wanted to kind of set things in a way that it would be an inspiration relative to what's going on present tense. And yet at the same time, be able to edify those now coming in and establish further those who are here before. So what I sort of look at there, in going in there, I sort of decided to approach it different. So I went to Daniel, and the Lord gave me the inspiration and showed that Daniel heard the seven thunders just like John. And we used the quotation for years and say it, but then the Spirit went in there in Daniel and began to pull out how Daniel is speaking of kingdoms and mostly the political realm, and the seven thunders uttered voices between the trumpets itself. And then you tie back Daniel and Revelation together. Then, you know, something to come out there. And we hit Daniel 10 and Revelation 10. Both is parallel because Daniel 10 was that mighty one there with the eye like a flame of fire, feet like fine brass, and different things. And we pick up the same one in Revelation 10 who raises hands and swear. And we find that Daniel 10 to 12 was his last vision. The whole thing compasses one vision. Amen. And it was speaking about the last days. And Daniel didn't understand. And the voice is sealed up until the time of the end. And he said, in that time, when the book is to be opened there, the time of the end, Michael, the great prince, who standeth for thy people, will stand the last days. And deliver the names found written in the book. Now what's that word in? Found written in the book. It's written in the book. His name's not written in the book, and his name's found written in the book. The reason there was found written in the book, because some name that was written in the book was blotted out, so it was not found in the book. Then there was some name that was never even put in the book to begin with. Like Pharaoh and the rest of them there. Amen. Then there was names written in the book that could not even come out. And then we're going to take that book, and I told you, don't confuse Daniel 12:1 with Daniel 7, because Daniel 7, and the books will open another book. Amen. And we find to understand that scripture, it was one of the ancient days. But here we are one of the ancient days. But then it can't be that one neither, because when he comes of the ancient days, in Daniel 7, he has 10,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 ministering to him. So we find out the ancient days don't only come in Daniel 7, but it comes in Revelation 1.
then we find out two comings, and we find two openings in the book, and we find two sections in the book, and this is where the secret is. This is where a revelation is going forth up here, and some people could grasp it. And then the gospel, the general Christian age and Christianity, and Jesus died for your sins and accept Jesus as a personal savior, anything going on down here. One in the religious realm, one in the spiritual realm. But these people down here, they don't know really what's happening. They're going through the tribulation period, and they don't live again for 1,000 years. But the Bible says the rest of the dead live for 1,000 years. Let me pick up some scriptures here and help some of you all. We try to follow some of those things quickly, and then we can maybe strike the message. Now, let me try Daniel 7 quickly. You see, if this thing is set right, and you catch it right, the way it's been set, you will understand so clear, and see so plain exactly what's happening here, right amongst us, and among the bride, wherever she is. Daniel 7, 9. And I beheld till the thrones were set, and the Ancient of Days, notice that, did sit, whose garment is white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. Alright? His throne is like a fiery flame, and his wheels that burning fire, fire streaming sued, came forth from before him, 1,000 ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld till even the beast was slain, and he will become the beast, for his antichrist, then for his prophet, then become the beast. Amen? And when he becomes beast, the bride is already up in heaven. She already resurrected out of the earth and go in heaven. So this had to be afterwards. And given to the burning flame, as the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. I mean, that's in the millennium when he gets kingdom. Alright? And dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass when his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Now let's take Matthew 25. So that's a resurrection there. The books are open. And they're going to have a judgment when they come at Ancient of Days. They don't fully reveal that there, but as you pick up the scripture, you will see more what we're saying. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and, or in prison came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done unto me of the least of these my brethren, unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we the hunger, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister to thee? Then shall he say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now what's something here? Now this people have resurrection also, and at that time, some will be, you can depart in everlasting fire. And notice how it says in verse 46, everlasting punishment, but the righteous in the life eternal. It didn't say eternal punishment.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Because you know, as the prophet showed, you don't have no eternal hell.
Amen.
So you have eternal hell, you have to have eternal life to be eternal hell.
Amen.
Eternal means not having a beginning nor an ending.
Amen.
And you only one form of eternal life, and that's God life.
Amen.
And if you have eternal life and you to stay in eternal hell, that means you're saved. Because you can't have eternal life and go to hell.
Amen?
Amen. All right. Because everlasting means for a space of time. Whether it's millions of years, it will come to an end. Once it's created, it had a beginning, it will have an ending. St. John chapter 5. I want to prove and show you here by the scripture. And maybe this will help some of the new ones. That there is two distinct openings in the book. Because there is two distinct resurrections. One is already happening and going on right now. Yes, no. St. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. This is Jesus speaking. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That is two times that the hour is coming, and then now is. Now we notice in St. Matthew 27 there's a resurrection, amen? At the end of Jesus' ministry. For the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now there's a different thing here now. First it says, they that hear shall live. No, it says no. For the hour is coming, it's another hour, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. Right, in Matthew 25, we'll just pick up there. Where he's separating the good from the evil. Alright, Revelation 20. May come plain right here for you now. Verse 4. Now all along, we've been seeing that in Daniel 7, it's people the books were open, and their judgment being set. In Matthew 25, we find out that you are separating them now, some unto life eternal, some into everlasting punishment. In John, he's speaking about that day when all that are in the graves will hear. And Revelation 20, verse 4, he says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now right here now, it is making a distinction.
Amen.
That it have some rest of dead who didn't raise, and they live not again for 1,000 years, but those who was raised, they went up in what was called the first resurrection. Amen. And verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Come back to Daniel 7 here.
Amen.
And another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Amen.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they will judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That is going to Matthew 25. He cast them into that fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's pick up something else, you know. Revelation 22. Revelation 21, rather. 21, verse 22. Speaking about the new city here. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the light of it. And the nations of them who are saved. Now, we see someone's ending the eternal life. The nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither he that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now over here is speaking about the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. Alright? Now before we strike the next resurrection here, I want to take Revelation 17:8. Revelation 17:8. I really didn't have this in mind to do, but I just thought I should give you these scriptures so you understand better what we're speaking about. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Amen? Now here it was, some names that was not written in the book of life. This is very plain. Names was not written in the book of life.
Amen.
So in the book of life, you have everybody's names. Alright. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, talking about the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
So then, everybody's names is not also written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen?
Yeah.
And Revelation 20:15. Let's take back that. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we have three things here. First, there is names not written in the Lamb's book of life which shall be deceived. The name that is not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be deceived. Then there is names that is not written in the book of life. And then there is names that are not found written in the book of life.
Amen.
And we find the book of life is open at the white throne judgment.
Amen.
The books were open, and another book, the book of life. So it was sealed before.
Amen.
And it was open at the white throne judgment. Now, we're doing all that just to make a difference in the opening in 1963.
Amen.
Because a book was opened in Revelation 5, was sealed, and Revelation 10 was open. And Revelation 10 is not the white throne judgment. Amen.
Amen.
And when the names in that book is being called, other names that is not written in that book will be deceived.
Amen.
Because the book that is not written, the name that is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be deceived by the beast.
Amen.
So then you have to look now and see if the names in that book is being called, and the names not written in that book is being deceived by the beast.
Amen.
On the earth now.
Amen.
Amen. Alright. Then if that book is open, then if the second book, if the book of life is open, and when it's open, he comes at the ancient of days.
Right.
And is connected to the second resurrection. then let's see if when the first part of the book is open, if it's connected to the first resurrection. See, it followed that way. Then if it followed that way, then something is happening now. Amen. Because look how that book is open. Look at the Ancient of Days. Because before the second resurrection, the Ancient of Days, you hear white like wool, open the book. And the names that were found written in that book went into eternal life. Let's see the names in this book when it comes as Ancient of Days open, if they go from death into life also. And then we're going to realize that here a part of the book is open. Names is being called. People is receiving a revelation. Entering into life. And the rest of the people is being deceived by the beast. My. I tell you that is very plain. I don't think I'm making fun of reading the rest of scriptures here. But let's take it for those here. St. John 5, again. We're going back to the first resurrection now. The hour is coming and now is. Let's take St. Matthew 27 first. St. Matthew 27. And get us out of the way quickly. St. Matthew 27. I feel like I don't have the patience to teach. I feel us going long. Let's read the scripture. Amen. But I just want to set the settings so you can see what's happening in the midst of that. I want to get the call chosen and faithful. So let me get this right here in its proper way. It's in Matthew 27, verse 50. Now this is Jesus on the cross. This is squeezed when he's publicly crucified by the Sadducees and Pharisees and Sanhedrin when they all came together in that uniting time to crucify the word. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept were raised, awoke, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection. Amen. Amen. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. No, he didn't read that. Maybe didn't know that, who might be strangers. But here it was, when he rose, Job, all them who said, bury me here, this kingdom will not be destroyed, don't destroy the flesh, yet I'll see my God in the last days. This other one, Jacob saying, bury me in the land of my fathers. Abraham buying the burying place. Then Joseph said, carry my bones out to Egypt and bury me in that land. Amen. Amen. Why? They all knew there's going to be a resurrection. Amen. Amen. And then when he arose, they came out together with him. Amen. 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 Just let me follow a little bit maybe for some of you all. Ephesians 4. Let me follow up for some of you all. The strangers, so you can see it. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. So it said, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He descended and he preached his prison in hell. Is that correct? After that, you find in 1 Peter 2:18. You read that when you go home. I won't read that one. You read that when you go home. But then he ascended here on Easter morning. There was on the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended on the 40th day. Let's get Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 7. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting Lord, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Amen. Here David was seen when he ascended into heaven, when he was leading captivity captive. Because remember the witch at Endor, how she called up Samuel? And Samuel came and prophesied and told Saul, by tomorrow you'll be here with me. Amen. When Saul is backslidden, he went and saw the witch at Endor there. And then Samuel still been a prophet because death didn't change his nature. It only changed his dwelling place. He was still a prophet. And if Malachi 4 step back in here this morning, brother, he'd be a prophet. He'd come right back with the word. He would condemn sin, condemn unbelief. He would preach exactly what he was preaching before he went down. Amen. Hallelujah. And when Samuel came back, he prophesied here because the witch ended up going to contact him. But when Jesus came, he told that parable about Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham and the rich man down in hell and a great gulf fixed. Amen. And he wanted water, and Lazarus couldn't give him that water. And he said, go and tell my rest of my family. Amen. You see, believe the message of the hour. Amen. I thought it was foolishness. I thought it was a false prophet. But look, I end up in hell. Amen. But those things are the truth. But he couldn't do it. Amen. And what it was that they was not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were only covered by the blood of bulls and goats. So they couldn't go in the presence of God. They had to wait until he come and shed his blood. And there was a place called paradise. Is that correct? That's a little place down there next to the regions of the lost. Amen. But he emptied out that place when he came. He took them out from there. And he took them high up, amen, into a place called the sixth dimension, amen. And in that place there, no medium, no witch could contact them. They can't go through no kind of seance. They can't do no kind of witchcraft and contact them, amen. So anybody tell you they call their family, they lie, they're familiar spirits. Amen. See, it's some demon spirit that maybe live in that person. Amen. Amen. Some locusts from the Euphrates River. Amen. Amen. That might be living in that person all them years. Know everything about them. Even talking like them, acting like them. Amen. Telling you all what is to do. That's why people believe in reincarnation, you see? Because this spirit go inside somebody and then talk things that is to do when it was in the other person. So they still be the same person come back with a familiar spirit. Because when that person finished their course here on this earth, the earthly time allotted to them and the care is taken off that rock. Amen. Amen. Then, brother, they can no longer come back on the earth because the time is that was allotted for them is already lived out. If they accept Jesus Christ and his shed blood, they go into the presence of God. If they reject that while they're here and they die, they go into a place called the prison house. 1 Peter 3:18, and they wait there reserved in everlasting chains of blackness and darkness until judgment. Revelation 20, when the judgment is called, they're taken out, amen, and brought to stand before the supreme judge, and the books is open, amen, and if the name is found written inside it, they can enter into eternal life. If there was against the world in the age, and the name is blotted out, the name will not be found in the book, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire. Amen. Amen. So, let's deal with us now. That is all the little background there. But we now, if we are here, either our name is not written in the book, either our name is written in the book of life, or either our name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. Or either our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Or either our name is written and blocked out. I would not be found written. No, you have to find out about you for yourself. That is the question, but you have to know for yourself. And you have to know your experience for yourself, because this is the hour when those things are being revealed. Long ago people tell you, you can't know who's going to heaven. That is nonsense. If you don't know you're going to heaven, then you're not saved, you're not going. You have to know you're going to know if you're going. Amen. Those who are going know they're going. Hallelujah. Because if you're on the bus and you don't have no ticket, either a storm, somebody pay for you and they hold a ticket. But when that person pay for you and have your ticket is giving you your ticket now. Hallelujah! Because he paid for you, you must have your own token to present to the inspector. Hallelujah. To show that your fear, your price have been paid. And you're entitled to stay on that bus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So you must stand there with your token in your hand to show that nobody can throw you off that bus. So a man come and tell you, you know the message, you want to throw you off the bus, you show him your token. Hallelujah. And the token you have, no man can give that to you. Hallelujah. The one who paid the price, the one who shed the blood, he inside of you is the very token given witness of himself. It's the real witness, the Holy Ghost, in the believer, a true witness, giving testimony of his own self. In this age. Amen. So you as a believer, you know if you're in the book. If you're not hearing the name all these years in the message, I don't understand, maybe in the next section. When that section is open, you'll come up. Amen. The white throne judgment. Because in that judgment, there are a lot of people standing there, and they can't find the names. And they'll be saying, search the book again. I see some a name like my name. He said, maybe it was here, but block it out. Amen. Say, let's get your record. Say, show back him when he's on the earth in the time that he lives. Amen. And the great angel point projection, read it out there. On the great canopy of God, the great candle stretch across heaven and earth. Amen. And the thousand times thousand ministers say, we know him. He's been in the church. He's come service. Hallelujah. I don't have my book here, but question and answers on the scenes. You check it out there. He said they will stand and judge those who they preach to in the time when they're living upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. That group in Daniel 7, they came with him. Thousand times thousand ministered unto him while he raised up the rest. Now that group is the same group with the Lamb, and they are called, and they are chosen, and they are faithful. They are called in every age. Because they were chosen before the foundation of the world, and faithful to the commission given unto them in the hour that they are living in. And they are riding with him this morning. They are riding, they are preaching, circuit rider preachers. Hallelujah! Riding, declaring the message of coming judgment of fire and brimstone in this last day. That is a heaven to get and a hell to shun. Hallelujah! Warning men to come out of Babylon. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen. You watch this hour and see. Then those who preach the demon on the earth now will come back. And they will stand there and say, Israel, there he was. He was in service. And to the year 1984, come back. Say, let's take from 75. Oh, you're coming to mess with a sinner. Sure, you're down in the barroom somewhere there. Yeah. Amen. You're coming to mess with and you're watching your whole life. You never know you're going to be on God television. Yeah. You always want to go on man television. But here you're on God television. And you can't act. You can't make no impression. Because your thoughts are speaking loud and all. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you look there and you see yourself. Oh my, and you're running a woman, and you're chasing, and you're a hypocrite in the church. Amen. You're full of deceit and guile and hypocrisy. And you're all coming out here. Amen. And then all of a sudden, amen, you see where you come against the world, and you see where the angels struck them off. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're standing up, and then you see those people. He called them to the front. He said, do you know this man? He lives in the age that you live in. Oh my! And here's a little bride standing there. Amen. He said, yes, I know him so and so. We preached him. He sat under my ministry there. Amen. We live in a little small town. Amen. We preach the gospel. When that angel dropped down and revealed the seven seals. Amen. And that message was delivered unto us. And we try to keep it faithful. We try to preach it just as the prophet said. And these spirits will not be in subjection to the word. Amen. And it's being preached. What did they do? It's right there before them. Everything. Television is only a sign that God is photographing everything. Yeah. Even your very thoughts. And I always preach and say, when man invented television, they shall fall on their face and repent and warn the whole world. The people in this country should become preachers. Starting to preach and warn everybody to live right. Because they found something that proves that everybody is being photographed. Yeah. a record is being made of every man's life on this earth. Because television is only a set man invented a channel was in the unseen. They're showing that film on a real drop projector in Marvel. You don't even see just and coming right into your living room in your set. Way past the goal here. Is it another dimension? That only pick up the unseen and bring it to a place visible where you can see it. If you had a sense to see the unseen, you'd be able to see. Amen. Coming through the ether waves and into the tube because there are crystals inside of the air. Showing that television was here. Man didn't create it. Man only invented the set to channel what is taking place in the unseen. Right now, I stand preaching here. They bring the different thing, the radio, and they set it up. And they bring all the television, they put it here. People in China could sit and see the service live this morning. Look right now, the Olympics is on. People around the world, 2 billion people is looking at it on the screens. Amen. Why? And then you think how much sin is going on. How much unbelief in this world. Amen. How many people do things? Die back to everything that is in darkness will be brought to light. Everything that is hidden shall be revealed. Aren't you glad when you watch we as believers, some of the filthy, dirty, ungodly, vile things we do. Amen. If it wasn't the blood of Jesus Christ to break that up, destroy the record. Grace of God provide a way to destroy many of you records. Hallelujah. And you fail to repent, your record remains right there. You fail to repent, your record is still there. You may cover it up, you may blackmail, you may try this, you may lie, you may be hypocritical, but you fail to repent, your record is there. Amen. That record is right there to condemn you when that day comes. Hallelujah. On that there will be no joke, won't be a talk, won't be a theory. It would be a reality. And you'll be standing there facing your own self. Who can decide it's not you? You might forge a natural birth paper. You may grow a beard and change your appearance. You may grow your hair long. You may put a three-piece suit and a big pipe in your mouth. That ain't go higher on that day. That day your body, your spirit, your soul, everything will be on display on God's camera. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we going to judge you? Higher tally of some of these people here? Some people don't get COVID in them? No, sir. The bride of Jesus Christ who preached the gospel in every age. The saints shall judge the earth. Hallelujah. Bible says you run here and you run there for some little matter. Amen. About a week kind of do it. Influence run here, run here. Either don't know you not that the saints shall judge the earth? You can't judge some little matter, some little quarrel, some little thing between yourself. And you want to judge something? Oh man, he said, but his saints have been in such a place, the government shall be on his shoulder, and his shoulder is part of his body. Amen! He'll get a rod of iron to rule the nations. Amen! A lot of people take the Christianity light. A lot of people think good children back in a Bible. A lot of people feel lifting their hand and bubble dancing and singing some little gospel song. But Jesus Christ and 2 feet God in his people living out the world in every age. Hallelujah. Is Jesus Christ being revealed because he chooses to reveal himself to the Gentile dispensation in people? A mystical body. He chooses to reveal himself in those people. How could again the change the dispensation, change his program, change his way? You want the corporate body, you'll get the millennium, but if you didn't make the resurrection, you'll not be sleeping for 1,000 years. You'll not be living for 1,000 years. It won't do a difference. It won't help you. Call up you like the corporate body. But until that time, he's in a mystical body. Amen. He's in believers, amen, blood washed saints. His word, living, anointed, operating through them. Amen. Hallelujah. See the calling we are called. We walk upon the face of this earth back and forth to our jobs. And know that one of these days, under our feet will be the ashes of the very people who rise in contempt. Try to dominate you and try to exploit you on these things. Amen. There will be ashes under your feet one of these days. Amen. Where would they be? See. People don't realize when the way of life is set before them. Eternal life being revealed. Amen. Amen. To recognize God's program. unfolding His mercy and His grace unto them. Amen. To bring them up higher into a place where they're going to walk with God and fellowship. In a place where Adam once lived and dwell in the presence of Almighty God. Where God can whisper His secrets into your heart and fellowship with you. Amen. When you are a trembling, frightened go because a natural man for a job or interview asks a little time off, you in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah! To come into His presence, even in the place where the archangel can't go, because you are beyond them. Hallelujah! Amen. So when we hope to be contempt and them and them and them and them and this little church and that little church and them over here. No, that's God. He said, why kick you against the prick? That's God. Amen. That God be revealed for that age. That is mystery. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Then we take Samuel 27. Look at John 5 quickly. Oh my. Time is running out. Amen. What an hour. I tell you, where the church is, them eagle eyes, where she's seeing them great wings, where he's getting ready to take her. Amen. She's standing with a kingly spirit. Amen. Eagle anointing upon her. Oh my, she knows she's been called and chosen. You reveal those seven mysteries on the back side of the book and show it as your spirit, your original spirit. Your bone of his bone, faith in his faith, virtue in his virtue, knowledge. That's your original spirit. You are part of him. You know, he's chosen him like Eve was chosen Adam. He called you. I call my sheep by the name. He put your mystery and saw yourself in the word. You know you are called and chosen. You have not chosen. He said, I have chosen you. I have ordained you. And they are the ones riding with him. They with him. That we want to get to. You see, you think it's good horses and horsemen. And names. Hallelujah. Amen. These preliminaries, oh my. Amen. John 5:25. Very, very, I say unto you, they're always coming. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, that they may hear and live. And we took that always coming in John 5 when he began his ministry here. And then we found at the end of his ministry, that was those years in Matthew 27. Amen. But the hour is coming. The hour coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall live. We took Samuel 27, and that was the hour that now is. All right, let's take 1 Corinthians 15. Oh my, hallelujah! Romans, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Praise God! Now watch where these things tie right back into the trumpets here now. You got the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise, and the seventh trumpet. Amen. The Lord will descend just before the seventh trumpet take place. I shout a voice, and then the trumpet, the last trumpet. Six is already sounded to put the Jews back in the homeland. Amen. We are right up, and I'll show the book is open. You will see we in the spiritual part of the resurrection is already taking place. The book is open. It's come as ancient of days. The whole thing is set. Amen. A lot of people talking about the cloud turn. That is the cloud turn. Amen. He turned to show the ancient of days. He comes to judge the quick and the dead.
Amen. True, brother.
Them who is quickened, passing it unto life. And them who is dead, killed by the second death. The last plague was spiritual death.
Amen.
51, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's the time element right here. At the last trump. Inject the time when it's going to happen. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's your second change. Amen?
Amen.
That is a physical outward change. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says you are being changed from glory unto glory unto glory until you behold the glory of the Lord in the mirror. That is your first change. You are quickened, changed, and translated.
And Christ has been formed inside his venture of glory and the glory. Faithful to knowledge. Amen. When that word image is formed, then your outward change come at the last trump. So somewhere between he coming on the quickening power being released, he coming down in this age until the seventh trumpet, our people must have the first change and be formed in the word image. And at the last trump, they shall get the second change. Faster when the angels came. And find out when he came as Ancient of Days. Find out when the book was opened. Was it not before the second change? Because the resurrection has been set in order? Amen. For this corruption shall put out this. We shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh my, hallelujah. It's so plain all through the Bible. You see why the rapture is a revelation? Because part of the book is open, mystery being revealed, dead is being raised, people are being gathered, receive the first change, and the world don't even know is going on. And they, because they think when the graves are open and open, they have a different thing in their mind. But look, he come like a thief in the night to deliver those names from written in the book. And in the last day shall Michael stand. No, we just on the book there, you know. We just on the book and Michael. That's what we on. But just to get the book, I had to get all these names in the book and different sections of the book and what the book has been open for and these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I wouldn't have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others you have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus, shall God be with him. Now we're going to find all down through the ages, while the message is being preached, they have been called, who has chosen, who is faithful in the age. And they have been sealed away, and people went along thinking of the fanatic message that went by. Not knowing that the elect being sealed away. Alright, them who sleep in Jesus, will God bring it to him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven and shout with the voice of the angel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Now here it make it more plain now. Just now, Revelation 20, verse 5, we found that the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. No, this is specifying which dead lives now. The dead in Christ shall rise first. How do you go in Christ? By one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Is that correct? So then down through seven church ages, a little portion was being baptized into the body in seven ages, a little portion. And then when it's the seventh age, then they are them who sleep in Jesus. They have all been filled with the Holy Spirit. They die a Christian. Amen. They just changed the dwelling place. The earthly tabernacle dissolved. And they went into another tabernacle waiting for them without hands. Amen. Made eternal in the heavens. Is that correct? Amen. And they're waiting right there under the altar. Amen. Where it was called by the messengers in every age. Amen. Amen. And then when that angel comes on the book now, it's going to be revealed now. He's going to set the first resurrection order. Shall Michael stand at last days? It would not be connected to the second one, or it will go down to the first resurrection. Those names in the Lamb's book will be revealed. Amen. Will be revealed. The others will not at all. They will go along and sleep spiritual death. They'll wander after the beast, all these mysterious things that message revealed. They'll be confused in their minds about it. They'll not be able to grasp the revelation. They'll have no oil. With a natural mind to try to learn certain things. And they get trapped into the system. And will be counted atomic fodder. Amen. They will take a stand against the elect of God. They will join the system. They will have economic prosperity when the beast is controlling all economics. But the bride will need no mark to get food. She will speak, let there be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. When that is happening there. Amen. So then we who are alive and remain. Notice two groups there at the resurrection. Them who are asleep in Jesus and we who are alive and remain. In other words, when we come to the last trumpet, there will be a little group still alive. The first trumpet sounded and Paul didn't see it. Only in vision. Second trumpet sounded, third, fourth, fifth, sixth sounded and none of them see it. But you know something? We are the ones who saw the trumpet sound. Because the trumpets is after the feast of Pentecost. Now the gathering of Israel back in the homeland.
We are the first generation concerning the last generation because Israel is yelled back in the homeland. Then we know that there is three prophets between the second and seventh trumpet. One before the rapture and two after the rapture. And the one before the rapture, the one who turned our hearts back. And we are being identified now as that mystery before the other two Jewish prophets come. And we have to hand them the battle. Hallelujah! When we go, then we can come on the scene and continue. Hallelujah! The last trumpet bring up our sleeping brethren for us to go to the marriage supper and to bring them on the scene to call dear brethren who is sleeping in traditions. Hallelujah! Oh my! Then look where we at. What are the seven thunders for? To gather you together for the song of the last trumpet. What have been the mystery of the voice of the archangel? The word bride being formed in the word image. Hallelujah! And when the mark is unveiled, then we know the voice is standing here. Hallelujah! The final voice of the final age. They who are with him. Now what? When them names have been revealed, Michael is here, no? He's the one who delivers. He's the captain of their deliverance. The captain of their salvation. Hallelujah! And what something? If that second section is not being opened until the second resurrection, the first section is open, is only once and the name is to be found in the air. And you could have the proof to show if your name was found in the air. By having a testimony for that age, that having that revelation being made manifest in you, knowing that word by word is happening. I remember the Jews, though they are gathered, their eyes are not open until the 10th day of the 7th month. Feast of the Trumpets was the first day of the 7th month. But not until the 10th day of the 7th month, Feast of the Atonement, then they recognize the sacrifice. But between that 9-day period, the bride, Joseph, must dismiss his wife to the palace. And before he can call, deliver the Jewish names, there's some Gentile names have to be delivered in the roll call before their names. Then if he delivered those names, they must have that testimony. Then if they are here, and if they are delivered, and if they have a testimony, Michael have to be here. Hallelujah! You have to be here. It's not people saying Michael is here, no? It's having a testimony to it's being delivered! Hallelujah! You might be a one-day star and deliver you and put you in your course. Hallelujah! Glory to God, amen! Hallelujah! You stand here, you have a testimony, then you're riding with him. Because I want to get them two armies that's riding now. Amen. Revelation 6:1 had a horse rider, notable horse rider. And he had an army of 200 million. We found his army under the trumpets. We found him under the seal, we found his army under the trumpets. And we find that his army rode him under the seals, and they rode under the trumpets too. Because they were moving on religion and politics all the time, they were delving in the two. And we found that he came out of the bottomless pit with his army. But the other one came out of heaven. Amen. And where the battle is going on they meet on the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to get through here. Okay. We take out the air ready? Let me see. All right, Revelation 24 and 6. I won't read, but I just quote it here for you. We have been in back and forth this morning already. 24 and 6. Blessed are they who are part in the first resurrection. So we find the first resurrection now. Okay, let me take that first. I want to get some here. The prophet says about them books there. So it may clear up any little confusion that may come in your mind. Okay. Page 260 and 267 in the seven church ages. He said, at the very start of our study, now, the possibility of a removal of a name from the records of God is even more than a casual study. For up until now, that when the seventh seal is open, most students have merely drawn a conclusion that God placed the names of those born again within the Lamb's Book of Life at the time of the rebirth. Now this is how denominations had it. And on, not until the seven seals opened, then the prophet himself understood it fully too. And that is right there where people are confused with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they don't understand the two sections of the book. Amen. Now these things have been said on previous days. Let's just message here this morning for some of those here. Now when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to take three things into consideration before you can have a full understanding of what you're talking about. First thing, body, spirit, and soul. Yes. Yes. Don't make no sense talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're talking about body, spirit, and soul. So you're going to end up not realizing both set of people can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but only one can be converted. Secondly, the two sections in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb section, that's called the Lamb Book of Life, and the other section is one book, that's called the Book of Life. In the Lamb section, they had the Holy Spirit while they lived upon the face of the earth in the age that they were predestinated. The others, the foolish virgins in the Book of Life, they don't get eternal life until the white throne judgment. So only the blood was shed only for one group in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the seven messengers call those names through the messages in every age. I call my sheep by the name. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of God is through the messenger. He ever had to hear him hear what the Spirit saying. Amen. That was going in every age. And how do they call the name? By preaching the mystery. So it's only those in the Lamb's section, which is part of the world in every age, who is part of Christ. The female part that was manifested unto seven ages. They are the only ones who predestinated unto election. Yeah. Amen. They were elected to be born again. Yeah. They had two natures in one body. Yeah. The old husband could have died and they could have come into a new union. Yeah. The rest of the people only have one nature in one body. Yeah. They can't be born again. Amen. Now what's something? Then, that is the two natures in the Lamb Book of Life. And the body, spirit, and soul, and then manifestation from evidence. Amen. Amen. And you must understand the difference between manifestations of the Holy Spirit, because you can have gifts of the Spirit and not the Spirit. Amen. I can give you this pen, it's a gift for me, but it's not me. Judas cast out devils and was born a devil. That was the last day someone said, did the Lord do we cast out devils and do these things? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never even knew you. No, it didn't mean that he didn't know them in the sense that he didn't know who they was, you know. Because he's omniscient, he knows all things. But it meant he didn't foreknow them to be in the bride. Amen. Which is a special calling. Amen. Because Satan cannot cast out Satan. Jesus said that. Is that correct? Well then, for them to cast out devils in his name, they had to have the Holy Spirit. But on the Spirit, they was not converted. Amen. See? Because he said, the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Is that correct? It fall upon the wheat, the same rain become the wheat, the same rain become the tears. But in the tears had tear life, and in the wheat had wheat life. The rain never make tomato tomato. The rain only pick up the life that's in tomato. The rain never make dungs dungs. It only pick up the life in dungs. Is that correct? Yeah. So what you is by the seed to begin with. Yeah. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Is that correct? Yeah. Alright. Okay, Romans 8, he said, those who he foreknew, is them he did predestinate, those who he predestinate, them he did call. Alright? So he foreknew people and he's calling them. I call my sheep by them. How do you call them? I preach the mystery. And those names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now what's a minute? Let me get here in 10 minutes and close. Because I realize that I can't get this whole thing. So I just give a little part of what I had in my mind this morning. This is my really quote. It says, don't forget already. 266 here. Let me read this quote here. For up until now, most students have merely drawn a conclusion that the God placed the name on those born again within the Lamb's Book of Life at the time of the rebirth. If for any reason that name must be removed, the space on the record will simply be a blank, as there was a name before it had been placed here. That is 100% opposite to what the Word really teaches. This is what people thought they had it. You know, they sing a song in Pentecost, there's a new name written down in glory in his mind. Amen. Well, that belongs to the man had a good motive, but a doctrine was unscriptural. He didn't have the full light, you see. Because the Bible says your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Amen. Those we foreknew is them we did predestinate. Amen. And I tell you, a father may have all his children in his loins. All they might be together, but they all wouldn't be born the same time. Amen. One might be born here a boy. Next 4 years might have a girl. Next 3 years might have another little boy. But they will all see together in his loins, but they come at different times. So Noah and Abraham and Moses and Peter and Paul, though they live in different ages, Luther and all them, they was in God's mind together. Because God never think a new thought. He's omniscient. He's infinite. If he's infinite, he can't act his knowledge. Amen? So me to say, he expressed Moses in one age, he expressed Peter in one age, he expressed Luther in one age, and his expressed thoughts was manifested in the flesh in the season that God designated that they should come in. Amen? And if God wanted, you could be with Moses in the coming to Egypt. You could be born a Jew. But he put you in a Gentile family. Amen. But your soul, you have to do a Gentile. Your soul has to go right back to God. But your flesh comes to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. But your soul go right back to God. Amen. To the great eternal spirit. Elohim. Amen. In him was attributes. And he expressed those attributes in flesh, in different ages. Alright? So that, right on the Lamb's Book of Life, we're talking about God's mind. And this Bible is only a written form of God's thoughts. And God's thoughts is in his mind. And God spoke his thoughts and became word. Amen? So don't put this different to God's mind. This is God's mind. Amen. Hallelujaah. But this just revealed he was in God's mind. Amen. That's why the great secret in the back part of God's mind was hid right inside his Bible. And then the light shine upon and show what God's objective was all down through the ages is hoping to achieve. Amen. So at the very start of our study, let me know that there is not one scripture. And you see, these things have to be clearly understood. Otherwise, there would be no confusion if it's clearly understood. This is one of the hardest parts of the world for the whole of Christendom. And not until the seventh is open, then those things were really straightened out. Because even the disciples back there, never really teach and real evidence of the Holy Spirit and these things, you know. No. The Holy Spirit manifested through them. They spoke about the experiences with the Holy Spirit. But then the mystery behind God, in the last days, the false anointed ones will be a mystery. How come Satan can't cast out Satan and these men will do great signs and wonders and cast out devils and all kind of different heal the sick and raise the dead, and then Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Amen. How come? Yeah. Amen. Those were some of the great mysteries in the last days. How come the Antichrist will be so close to the Holy Spirit? It is possible to deceive even the elected. Amen. You see what you're talking about? Yeah. That seed. Let me show you something. If Cain and Nimrod live at the same time, you'll get a good picture of what I'm talking about. You see, the serpent had a seed so close to Adam's seed, it could have mixed with Eve. And that seed produced a twin to Abel, who worshipped side by side by him. But God could only vindicate one. And Nimrod, Cain, who was worshiping Abel, his seed produced Nimrod, who was like the first pope and built a tower. And had all seed to be gathered around it. Alright? So, out there in Rome, you have a pope. But in the message, you have a serpent. Now, this seed, fully manifested, is that pope, you know. Because you see, the false vine that was sown in Eve's womb eventually produced Tower of Babel. Eventually produced Nimrod. And that seed was so close that Adam's seed could mix with Eve. And the saints that start off and deceived the early church, the second is the Nicolaitans, is eventually became the pope. when the Spirit became encountered, it was strong. Now here is Ephesians, and here is Babylon. Here is the Spirit that stands here so close to the real seal, the Son of Man. And here is the manifestation of it out there. You sure you're talking about? Now you in here will not see that seed in its fat form. So in a big general sense, inside of here, in here, it will be like an angel of light. But it will kill the spirituality in the church when it get itself wrapped around it. It will be actually trying to place the leadership of the Holy Spirit and humanize the leadership. Amen. Yeah. Eventually, if you're going to bail on this, it will be a subjection of false worship. And you're eating sacrifice of idols. Here, the idols might be graven images, but the men personalities lifted up. Yeah. That's what the Antichrist priests are saying. It became doctrine to people. Yeah. Not to the real believers, you know, but to others who have been influenced, that became doctrine. A saying. That doctrine became engaged in a man who became a false prophet of that doctrine. Then, finally, when they won't agree to that worship, then he became a beast and he killed out all those who didn't subject to that worship. That is the spirit of Antichrist in the Bible. And these are things you have to understand what you're talking about. You see, that's why I say the elect can't be deceived. She is the word. That's why I say the testimony of Jesus Christ is the word interpreted in your life to show you are the manifest epistle to the written epistle. That's why the only names in the Lamb Book of Life here, it's not just a thought about the names in the book. It's recognizing that you are the word made flesh today. You are the walking, living epistle. You are called, you know you are called. You have experience, you are called. You have a revelation, you were chosen. And your testimony prove you are faithful. They are the ones riding with him. Amen. Hallelujah. He is here and he's riding. And they who are riding with him is called chosen, is called and chosen and faithful. The one who ride in Lucifer ain't called nothing. They call deceivers. All kind of different things they call. Amen. They have been proven. They have no credentials. They have no evidence of the call. And you know they're unfaithful because they believe in the creeds and dogmas and man's ideas. You know they have not been faithful to the message that we have heard. So listen here. We will acknowledge by scripture that multitude of people. He said, now at the very start of our scripture, our study, let me know that there is not one scripture that teaches that God is presently compiling a record of names. This was all done before the foundation of the world, as we will point out shortly. Also, it is not a question of simply involving ourselves with two groups of people, both of whom had the opportunity to receive eternal life, when one group received it and their names are placed on a record, while the others who refused did not have the names placed on a record. It's not that. We will actually show by scripture that multitudes who are not even born again will go into eternal life. That are the rites of judgment when they were separated. Amen. Who name was found written went in. Who name was not found written went in like a fire. As strange as this may sound, it is certainly true. We will also show that there is a group of people whose names having been placed on that record before the foundation of the world cannot under any circumstances have those names removed. That is what I'm talking about. That is the section of the book I'm talking about. That is the revelation that's going forth. That people is waking up and finding that they were called. Amen. They knew that they were chosen. Amen. And the testimony proved that they are faithful. And they are riding with him in this last hour. Amen. As in the final ride. Amen. I want to show you, by the grace of God, that we've been preaching here. About seeing those things that those men were dreaming about, looking to the unseen, talking about the final ride, in those three dreams, where he said, I'll ride this trail one more time, and that white horse, and then that dream also had these people trying to hybrid a black horse to a white horse. Amen. And then also, who was riding that horse was the chief authority. And I want to show you that that is connected, because those men were dreaming something in the book of Revelation. And I want to show you these horse riders in Revelation is connected to those horse riders and those horsemen in those dreams. But if those men are dreaming that, maybe you never associated that way, but I'm going to show you. Because the very name that they had, the very riders riding, was something was going on. When the Antichrist first rode the white horse, was a ministry of false teaching. So you're talking about riding and horsemen, we're talking about ministries and what they're achieving. When the Antichrist rode on that white horse and was conquering, he was conquering by a bluff to false teaching. Now the prophet rode a white horse. It was the chief authority. But I want to show you that the man dreamed the prophet's flesh, but he had to have a revelation who was dealing the prophet. He knew a chief authority. It's in Revelation 10 when he was dealing in Revelation 10:7. And he said, I will ride his trail one more time in Revelation 10:8-11. Amen is he. But he, the chief authority, veiled on that horse. But I want to prove here that he is riding here with all these. And the ministry going forth, and they're on the horses, and they're riding, and it's solid white horses. Is that no black streak inside these horses? No, sir. Solid white horses. Pure, unadulterated word, he said. Oh my. They who are with him on the white horses were called and chosen and faithful. And I want to show that other ones riding also. Amen. I see some of you really fit in your saddle. I tell you the truth. And some of you again, you need to get a saddle that fits you. Amen. Or get in the shape to fit your saddle. Amen. Because brother, if you're not on your white charger now, if you're not riding this trail now, because Michael himself, who has come down and is riding.
Amen.
You see, those horses in Revelation 19, they didn't get in heaven.
Amen.
It's those horses that took them to heaven. It's because of those horses that rode up into heaven.
Amen.
Those white robes didn't get up in heaven. They got it here. By me, go try me fire and white raiment. The marriage of the Lamb is coming. His wife of Israel ready in white linen, treated white.
Amen.
You have your white robe here. You have your white horse here. Just because you saw him coming out of heaven with a white horse, that doesn't mean that when you come in horses, you know. No.
Amen.
Amen. That is another scene of the same person. Just because we saw it, we didn't see 200 million devils and horsemen with Lucifer under the first seal. It didn't mean to say he had them, because the Bible said, and he transformed his angels as ministers of light. And they said, we tried them, they were apostles and found them liars. So it wasn't one person riding, there was many of them riding. Many false prophets have gone into the world, riding from church to church to church, riding. And then they left. They conquer that church, and they conquer that church, and they conquer that church with what they send. But they will not conquer this church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When they ride in here, they'll find people on white horses. Hallelujah! They'll find that they are called the word of God. Hallelujah! They'll find them in the whole arm of God on. Glory to God in the highest. They're riding from church to church, and they're conquering people. Amen.
But these who are called and chosen, I don't have time to get this one, but you see what I get into. Because that last ride, I'll ride through one more time. It's the ride I'm talking about. But it begins to get really clear here now. Those horses, all in Revelation there, where you talk about horses, they had two armies with two sets of horsemen. And the riding, every time it rode, it was achieving something. And Brother Brown was chilling on a white horse. God, that horse is not a natural horse. That horse was riding up in the skies. Amen. Just like the ones in Revelation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like lightning speed. Hallelujah. Amen. When he cried, the voice shook the earth. Amen. And from the west will come a white horse rider. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, the kind of these things happening, taking the scriptures and making it clear to you. Because they who are with him, they are called and chosen and faithful because the name was in the book. Amen. For them to ride with him to go up into heaven, come back out, while the rest of the dead for 1,000 years, they was in that section of the book. They was found there. Amen. When 1963, the Lamb section was open and there were some names found there. And from the time the name was found there, they was given the white horses. Amen. Amen. Why do you think this horse could ride across the seas? Amen. Why do these horses and these horsemen going to be riding up into British Columbia soon? Amen. Amen. What do you think is happening? Amen. The names are called the Word of God. Amen. They are called and chosen and faithful. They'll be given a charge. Amen. Hallelujah. Called by the mystery revealing that they were in the book all the time. Ordained in this age. And they get a fine when he came and called them. It's not then they was chosen. Like David, he was chosen long before he was called. Hallelujah. God tell Samuel, he said, I have chosen David, the son of Jesse, amen, one of Jesse's sons, to be my king. Go down there and anoint him, I'll show you who he is. He was already chosen, only went down there, he wasn't called yet. And after he got him, not the seventh, the eighth one, amen, hallelujah. He went out there and they found the character, shepherds, amen, watching the sheep, and they anointed him. Amen, then he was called, he was elected, chosen, then he was called. Amen. He said, go and fetch him and bring him here. Amen. Amen. He was anointed and placed. And then David rode that white horse. Amen. Right to the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Goliath couldn't stop him. No lion couldn't stop him. No bear couldn't stop him. From a time he recognized he was chosen and called and faithful, they couldn't stop him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I pick up that little part there for you. Bible says they are no man can come to be called them. You see, he is calling those whom he chose for this. And his life in them makes them faithful. They know nothing else but his word. You are the prophet. They couldn't get him to compromise one jot. He'd rather walk alone. Amen! Than to compromise one jot. You know why? He knew he was called. Amen. An angel from heaven made him a flaming fire. Amen. To go and minister unto the heirs of salvation. Amen. To spread him with the repellent of predestination. Amen. He gave him a white charger. He rode up 7 nations around the world 7 times on that white horse. Hallelujah! He rode from mountain to mountain, amen. Hallelujah. Riding that white horse. Some brothers get one time and try to hybrid a black mare. He came just in time to catch them. Amen. Leave that alone. Amen. But let me tell you something. Since he gone on the scene, they breed all kind of black mares, gray mares. The original horse. Amen. All for the original white horse. It have all kind of different horses.
and have all kind of captains in the armies riding. But the horse is not the original color. It don't have the original prance. Amen. Amen. They don't even have the testimony to prove that they are called. To prove that they are chosen. And to prove that they are faithful. I don't know about you this morning. But you know your experience. I don't want humanly to make you feel nice. I encourage you in the faith. But now speaking to you as a servant of God here. Giving you a charge. You know if you are called. And you reveal, it is revealed to you how he calls his own. By the name. Moses, Moses. Aaron, come down. Abraham, Abraham. Peter, Peter. Amen. How he comes down and calls them. Follow me. Leave your nets. Follow me. Leave your nets. Follow me. How he called them. Those me for new. Not anybody's calling. If you get a fire, Paul afterwards says, it does me for new. That's why I say it needs to be, I must go to Samaria. It needs to be, I must find those children of Abraham. Zacchaeus, come out of the tree. You're in that pleasure tree this morning. Amen. You're hiding in that old creek tree. Amen. Come out of the tree. Hallelujah. Oh my. He was calling them. Move from place to place. And after he called them, he revealed to them, I have to call because you're chosen in Christ way before the foundation of the world. I'm predestinated unto the adoption of children. Your body might be a few years old, but your soul is eternal. Your soul is not 25 years old. Your soul is eternal as God is eternal. You were there from the beginning. When I walk on the earth, you was there in me. When I die, you die. When I was buried, you're buried. When I rose, you rose. When I ascended into heaven, you ascended with me. When I came back into the commission of prophets, you was inside of there also. Hallelujah. But because I have a purpose for you, I allow your father and your mother to conceive. My mother conceived, amen. To prepare a body for you. To bring you down for a testimony, amen. Hallelujah! To take your stand against unrighteousness in this age that you are living in. Amen. And with that revelation knowing you are chosen, and what you are doing unto, nothing can stop you. And you have been, you have tested them to the final point to prove that they are faithful. To prove they will not deny him. They will not go contrary to his word. They will hold that word is more than life to them. That loving kindness is better than life. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. They are faithful. Faithful unto death. My faithful martyrs. Amen. Like he said about Antipas. And he called his name, my faithful martyr Antipas. Amen. Amen. Brother Biscuit said here, he said what? A testimony is what? You can't be a martyr in testimony in the Greek. And you can't have a testimony until he's dead. Amen. You ain't dead this morning, you have no testimony yet. Because the witness must be in you giving the testimony. And the witness is the Holy Spirit. Because he gives witness of his own word, of his own self. Because the Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. But you are part of the mystery for this age. You are that part of Christ. That part of the mystery. Amen. And he'll have you in a black horse. Many rode on a black horse. You watch all these ULF and PNM and all these different pieces of people there. That ONR, that they ride on black horses. Amen. horses. Red horses. Political power. Amen. All kind of mix up colors. Some in religion, some in politics, all kind of things. It definitely lies with demon powers. Religion, politics, and demon powers. But you know something? At the end of the seventh age, that original horse that they had in Revelation 19 is still white. Even after the wedding heaven came out of heaven, it was still white. It never get mixed up with nothing. It had no place for devils, had no place for politicians, had no place for religious spirits. It had no place for nothing else. He said it was solid white. Christ was coming on a white horse, solid white, pure, unadulterated wood. You see why we don't like shady business? You see why we don't like some little funny kind of influence that don't go back into that pure, original white horse? And yet the Holy Spirit showed the prophet they was going to try to hybrid the horse to a black mare to make a grayish kind of business. That horse the prophet was on, that's the one that's trying to hybrid. I knew I didn't take the message and see. Amen. Today you look at many of them horses and you watch to see the original pedigree. The original thoroughbred. And they show making different. Amen. But this morning I said, all down through the ages, there's a little group that they could not conquer. And the last days here, the last final ride we come to, we'll get. But just settle this here for you to show that those riders and those horses that those men are dreaming about was really something in the book of Revelation. And it is connected to all horses. It was something prophetic. Because when an Antichrist has arrived, it rides in a teaching ministry. And when Michael angels went out, they went out with a teaching ministry to combat the false teaching. And even the end, when the battle was ending up in Revelation 19, it was still the same two kingdoms, the same two armies, the same two captains at war. You see what it is? So if you this morning, you have to know which army you're in. You have to know who your captain is. And you have to know what kind of horse you're riding. Because you can ride straight into the political realms and get your horse hybrid by trying to be a good mixer with politicians, religious leaders, the world, the white horse. Will stay on this trail. I will ride this trail. Hallelujah. This trail. And all they say, he was going to turn back around and pick them up at a certain time. You will not be able to go further. You stay here on your horses. Wait until you learn to fit your saddle. Amen. When did you learn to ride your horse? And I'll come back around and I'll pick you up and we'll go into the final ride. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, it's in process this morning. And that's why all these things going on. You wonder what's happening. If you didn't know, they were going to hybrid the horse and it has been hybrid. Watch the pranks. You see, people be saying these things in a song. A certain way. That's what all I get to see. That horse must have the same spirit, same prance, walk the same way. That chief authority in that horse must have the same objective,
same ministry, continue the same work. Because the army with him is called and chosen and faithful. To what? To the word. To the message. So just be faithful. Believe his word. Tell the message that you have heard. The prophet and his wife shall cry. One more time I rise pray. Thus said the Lord, can never fail. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. I do you know you're one of them this morning? So we stand if you let's sing that song. One of them, one of them. That is the song you were singing while you were walking on the road. Meet the old colored sister who had faith to grow up playing for 2 hours. Hallelujah. A sick boy in the bedroom. She was looking for her Elisha to come. Here he was coming singing, I'm one of them. Amen. May we sing that song this morning. One of them. I know you're one of them. They say, but I want to be one of them. I don't want to ride with Lucifer and his army. I want to ride with Michael and his army. I want my name to be called the word of God. I want to be called chosen and faithful. Amen. I want to know that I'm in what is going on. I want to know that I'm riding at the side of him. Amen. You can imagine David and his mighty men was riding out to war. Amen. Hallelujah. Are greater than David is here. Mightier warriors than what David had is here. Amen. Hallelujah. In this great battle, in this great climaxing age, in this time, there will be a people, amen, who would be called, who have been called, that have been chosen. All seven mysteries revealing to them that they are the feminine spirit in the corporate body. They are the second Eve. They are the principal team. They were chosen in him. Amen. And they are faithful. Amen. Faithful to him. All they know is his word. That's all they know. Nothing else. They hear nothing else. They know nothing else. They want nothing else. Amen. That section of the book is open this morning. And those names are being called. If in the other section, all this will be Greek to you. Don't feel bad because you're not even supposed to get it. You be faithful to what you know. But those who are called, something struck them, woke them up, and bring them to a recognition of who they are. Set the course right. The real purpose in this life, the objective of the Holy Spirit, to become anointed with the King's desire. Amen. They are riding with him. That is what riding with him is. Because if you're riding with him, you have to be anointed with his spirit. You have to be you have to be in what he's in. Amen. You have to be working alongside with him. You have to be part of what he's doing. To be riding with him. Amen. There's many things riding out in the world today. Amen. But you hear what he called them. He said, these who are with the Lamb that was crowned, is called and is chosen and is faithful. When the Lamb came and opened the Lamb section of the book, these who are with the Lamb, it wasn't with the beast, it was with the Lamb. Amen. Hurt not the oil and the wine, don't touch them. Amen. What a privilege that is for us this morning. To know that that will be called unto. One of them. One of them. One of them. Oh, sing from your heart. Oh, from deep down in your soul. Let him put you on a white horse this morning. There are people almost everywhere.
God like us. Now.
gathered in the upper room, they were scattered. On praying, they were baptized, they were baptized. Some of the servants, hey, what he did for them, he did for them on that day.